In the beginning, the earth was a dark, empty blob. God spoke and created the entire world. Light, sky, fish, birds, and animals. Then God said, "Let us make human beings in our own image," and created man out of dirt. And the man became a human being named Adam. After 6 days of work, God took a rest. God then put Adam in a garden where there were two trees, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God told Adam, "Eat from any tree except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat from it, you will die." Eventually, God caused the man to fall asleep, took out one of his ribs, and created a woman, who Adam named Eve. God joined Adam and Eve together in marriage. Later, a serpent came and convinced Adam and Eve to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, saying they would become like God if they did. Eve took a bite, and then so did Adam. Because of this choice, God cursed the serpent as well as Adam and Eve and forced them out of the garden, away from the tree of life. Outside the garden, Adam and Eve had two sons, Cain and Abel. Cain was a farmer and Abel was a shepherd. When they made sacrifices, God accepted Abel's sacrifices of animals, but not Cain's sacrifice of crops. This made Cain so angry that he murdered Abel. People began to populate the entire earth, and wickedness and tragedy continued to spread. God was sad and regretted ever making human beings and decided to wipe them from the face of the earth. But God found one man, Noah, who walked faithfully. So God instructed Noah to build a giant boat called an ark, and to take his entire family, along with a male and female of every kind of animal, onto the boat. For 40 days it rained, and the entire earth was flooded, wiping out every living thing, plants, animals, and humans, all of it destroyed. Eventually, the flood stopped, and the ark came to rest on dry land. Noah and his family came out of the ark, and God made a promise that the entire earth would never again be completely flooded. God put a rainbow in the sky as a reminder of this promise, and God looked for someone who God could use to bless the entire world.
Good morning. Welcome to Community Church. If you are a guest with us this morning, we are beginning a year-long sermon series called The Story. We are going to walk through the Bible from the beginning of Genesis to the book of Revelation over the next year, and we're going to unpack God's wonderful story where he had you and I in mind. Life is full of stories, isn't it? I think of my own story, called into being in 1971, where I came into this world. And even before that moment, my story was part of God's story. Going through childhood, God had his hand on my story. My teenage years, my university years, my dating years, my seminary years, and even now, God's hand is on my story as he is on yours. And what I hope and pray is that over this next year, as we open with the first 9 chapters of Genesis this morning, that you will hear this. God loves you. God desires to have a relationship with you. And God is relentlessly pursuing you. This morning, we're going to hear the story of God. I want you to imagine this morning that you have gone to a movie. It's not just any movie. It is a fast-paced action movie. For lack of a better choice, let's take the James Bond movie Spectre. You are sitting there in your seat. You've been through the previews. You've done the little trivia. The lights are about to go down, and at least if you go to Imagine Cinemas, you hear, "Let's go to the lobby. Let's go to the lobby and get some snacks." and the lights are starting to go down, and all of a sudden you realize you got to go to the bathroom. And so you take off and you go to the washroom and the lights are out. 2.5 minutes of James Bond have passed and you're not going to comprehend the whole story because you've missed some integral moments in those first 2.5 minutes, and you sit down and you spend the rest of the hour and a little bit trying to figure out how the rest of the story messes with what you missed. There's another story. It's in the Bible. It says, in the beginning, God. It's a very personal story. And God is the main character. God is the conductor. It introduces us to the person and the concept of who God is. And here's the thing. I hope you don't got to go to the washroom this morning, because if you miss our message this morning and understanding creation and the other 8 chapters that we're going to quickly cover this morning in Genesis, you're going to miss the overall concept and understanding of what the Bible is all about. Let me read to you our key verse for this morning. And it's only one verse. In the beginning, God. It's the first time you meet God, created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created. Picture for a moment, I won't do math for you, but I'll do another form of science. Of the smallest of the 8 planets, it's still larger than a galaxy. In 1996, did you know that the Hubble Space Telescope was opened for 10 days? It was opened right next to the Big Dipper. And you want to know what they found? They found 3,000 other galaxies out there with their own comets, with their own asteroids, with their own moons. And so they decided to redo it again in 2004. And they placed it this time by the constellation Orion, on a deep and a dark void there. And what they found was an additional 10,000 other galaxies, each with their own asteroids, each with their own planets, each with their own moons, and all that went along with it. Here's what's fascinating. Overviewofthesystem.com pointed out that if our solar system was reduced by even a fraction of a billion, the Earth would be the size of a grape, the Sun would be the height of man, Jupiter would be the size of a grapefruit, Saturn the size of an orange, Uranus and Neptune would be the size of a lemon. Can you guess how big you would be? The size of an atom. You would be so minuscule, we would not even be seen. In the beginning, God came up with an idea to create or to connect the upper story, the story of God, with the lower story, which you'll unpack as the year goes along. And so he wants to create this world where, in that perfect unity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are getting along, that we could experience that same unity, that same relationship that God has with the Father, the Son, and the Spirit that make up what we call the Godhead. And so he decides to create a world, a sequence of a pattern of events. And so he says, day one, the light and the darkness. Day two, the land from the water. Day three, the vegetation. And he begins to paint a canvas. And then he takes 3 days to begin to fill the void. And so here he goes. Let us create light and darkness. And it was good. You can see him writing it in the journal. Let us create a land and water differential. And it was good. Let us create vegetation. And it was good. Let us create space. And it was good. And the story seems to stop there for a moment. And you begin to become enamored and in awe with all that has been created. And then he says, well, we're going to fill it. We're going to fill the world. And so he has fish and birds and other animals. And it was good. Have you ever been so overwhelmed when you begin to look at the world around you? I mean, if you've ever been to the Rockies, how cannot you not be enamored with the beauty of it? Or the majesty and the grandeur of Niagara Falls? Or the beautiful fields where all the canola grows in the prairies? And not be enamored with the idea of God. And yet God has done all of this. And it is impressive. It's mind-blowing to think about. And then you can hear God say, you've seen nothing yet. Because then as Genesis goes on, let us make mankind in our own image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea, the birds of the air, over the livestock, over the wild animals, over all creation that moves along the ground. Here it is. Be sure to catch it. Here God connects the upper story, the story of God, and his desire to have a relationship with the lower story. And he creates man. And catch what he says. Not this is good, but this is very good. And God created you to be a very clear representation of him. Created in his image. And we're able to be good and kind and loving and gracious and compassionate and forgiving and holy because he is holy. And then he sets us in place. And he places us in the garden called Eden. Commentators believe that this garden is between the Tigris and the Euphrates River. They believe it was somewhere in what we would call modern-day Iraq. Do you catch those first few verses? In the beginning, God. And if you're not overwhelmed with it yet, consider this. Astrophysicists have come up with a criteria that make you more in awe of who God is. Did you know that if the Earth's rotation was slower or faster, if we were 2 degrees closer to the sun, if there was 1 degree change in sunlight, if the Earth was any smaller or any bigger, if the moon was any smaller or any larger, if oxygen and nitrogen ratios were any different than they are now, the world would cease to exist. In the beginning, God created. Charles Darwin, the father of evolution, I love this quote, says, "To suppose that the human eye could have been formed by natural selection seems, I freely confessed, absurd in the highest degree." Picture it for a moment. Out of the amazement of all of the galaxies, of all of the insects, of all of the cows, of all of the sheep, of all the other things that Pastor Jack was mentioning, to the grandeur of the landscape of the world, God says, you've seen nothing yet. You are the crowning point of all of creation. You are the highlight of his design. It was God's plan from the very beginning when he set all of the world in place to be able to know you. To have a relationship with you, to dwell with you, to walk with you, to spend time with you. You are not here by chance. You are here because God brought you to this place. God placed you on earth. And God has a plan and a purpose. And God has not and God will not let you go. You are his. And he wants a relationship with you. We need to soak that in. Because there is a tendency in our world today, and many people do say, well, you know what? I don't know if I can buy what you're saying. Because God is an angry God, and he seems like he's out to get me. I don't know about you, but every story that I can read in the Bible, there is a story of God relentlessly pursuing, God offering grace, and God saying, I want you back. I want you to be with me. There are others this morning who hear in the beginning God saying, well, you know what, that's fine, but God is so far away and God is so distant. God is not connected with the everyday integrals of our lives. And I don't know about you, but the more that I look at the story of God in my life, the more I cannot doubt there's a God, because his hand is on every aspect of our story. But now, that God in the upper story who wanted to come down and connect with us and live with us touches and reaches in to the lower story. And he says, you know what? I want you to follow me. I want you to have a relationship. I want you to know the oneness and the connection that I have with the Father and the Son and the Spirit. But I'm not going to twist your arm. I'm not going to make you choose to follow me. So the Bible says, now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God made. He said to the woman, did he really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die, and you will certainly die. The serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and she ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together, and they made coverings for themselves. Here they were in a garden. They had everything. All they had to do was to eat there, and they would have everything that they would need in life. They would be able to enjoy God and enjoy him forever. And yet, there was that other tree. It was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It would give them temporarily what they would want, but it would leave them longing. It would leave them hungry. It would leave them searching. It would leave them wondering about their identity. It would lead to pain and childbirth, to work that is going to be hard and onerous. And yes, it's going to lead to sickness and brokenness and death in life. But they decided they knew better and they wanted that. And so they turned away from this God who had given them everything. And by the time you get to Genesis 4, they've already had some children called Cain and Abel. They both made offerings to God, as you saw in the video. One was accepted, one wasn't. And so one brother decided to kill another, and the first murder happened in the Bible. And then you move on one chapter, and you begin to learn that the world is so broken, that this evil and this pervasiveness and this evil, this wickedness, this sin, this desiring for, I want what I want, I'm going to do what I want, had covered the whole earth. So if you are following in your copy of the story, we're on page 8, or we're in Genesis 6, where it said, the Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on earth, and every inclination of the thought of the human heart was only evil all the time. The Lord regretted all that he had made. Or that he had made human beings on earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. Can you picture it? What's God gonna do? He could have washed his hands and he said, I'm done. You wicked and rebellious people. I wanted you to have a relationship with me. I wanted to know you. I wanted to bless your life. But you want your own thing, go ahead. But that's not what he says, is it? Here's what the Bible says. The Lord said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race that I have created, and with them the animals, the birds, the creatures that move along the ground, for I regretted having made them. but Noah. Noah found favor in the eyes of God. Now, I'm not going to tell you the whole story, but let me give it to you really quickly. God calls this guy named Noah in the middle of nowhere to build an ark. It's about the size of 1.5 football fields long. And Noah builds this ark exactly the code that God wanted him to build. And he takes two of every animal. He packs his family in the boat. And it begins to rain for 40 days and 40 nights. And the waters recede. And Noah begins to give an offering to God. And the Bible says in Genesis 9, or page 11 of the story, the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, never again will I curse the ground because of humans. And even though every inclination of the human heart is evil, and never again will I destroy all that I had made. And God sends a rainbow. But here's what you need to catch. Just a short time later, this guy named Noah is found drunk and naked in his tent, and he is an embarrassment to his entire family. Now, why do I tell you that? This is an important part of the story. It's an important part of the story is because even the most wonderful man who found favor in the eyes of God didn't have it all together. He was still infected by the ramifications of the fruit that was taken in the Garden of Eden. All of his best intentions weren't enough to save him and his family. But God, who came down and created a world, who desired a relationship with you and I, has already done two things. It's mind-blowing. With his heart ripped out, he has a covenant with Adam. And he said, I'm going to send someone. We know his name is Jesus. And he's going to come, and we celebrated that. And he's going to crush the head of the serpent. And my relationship with you is going to be restored. And you will know forgiveness. You will know what it is to belong. You will realize how valued and how loved and how treasured you are. You will realize in my coming to crush the head of the serpent that I will relentlessly pursue you to the ends of the earth. That's how much I want a relationship with you. And then he does it again. He does it again in the story of Noah. He points us to a true ark that is going to come. A true ark in the person of Jesus who is going to deliver us. And we're reminded that that water that refreshed and cleansed the earth remind us of the waters of baptism. And how because of what Jesus has done for you and I, we can be washed, we can be renewed, we can be restored in our walk with God. Man, I'm glad you didn't miss today. Because if you missed today, can you picture trying to make sense of the rest of the story of the Bible? This is by far going to be our most simplest message. Because this morning, you're introduced to God. God who loves you, who desires to renew you and redeem you and to walk with you and assure you and comfort you. Buckle up. Because if you think this was fast, the rest of the story is even faster. Will you pray with me? God, thank you. Thank you that in your infinite wisdom, you made a world that is so mind-blowing and intricate. From the galaxies upon galaxies to stars more numerous in the sky than we could ever imagine. To the 7.5 billion people. To the millions of livestock. To the insects yet discovered. And to think that in all of that is an amazing thing. But it's us that you have desired to have a relationship with us. And so, Lord, maybe this morning we are questioning, we are running, we are doubting this morning. May this morning be the first step of us walking anew into the story, possibly re-engaging our faith. Possibly this morning, Lord, we still have a lot of questions. We don't understand it. Would you open our minds to the truth of your word? For Lord, those of us that are more mature in our faith, we need that grace as well. We need the grace to be able to take it from the head to the heart and from the heart into the daily affairs of our lives. Lord, we have the most amazing story at our fingertips. And may today be a day where we are just simply overwhelmed at the words, "In the beginning, God." And may we be amazed at who you are. And as this week transpires, and as we engage in a new week of school or work or volunteering or homemaking, may you touch us anew, that our faith would be enriched, and that we'd find somebody this week that we could begin to tell this story to. In your name we pray. Amen.